Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabihari. Gopi Jana Malabha Idibarudahude. Gopi jana malaba kiribarud haude Yashoda nandana raja janaranjana Yashoda nandana raja janaranjana Yamuna tira banachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunabihari Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunabihari Gopi Jana Malaba kiribaradhadi Gopi jana balaba giribaradhadi Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunyabihari Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunyavihari. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Parivatakacharya, All Siddhartha, Siddhi, Srimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chandanada, Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Shilohidas Thakur Gijaya Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Govinda Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Gijaya Vrindavanam Gijaya Maturam Gijaya Jagannatha Swami Gijaya Yamuna Maya Kajai, Shrimati Lasi Devi Kajai, Sama Veda Vokta Vrinda Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kajai. So, Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're going to continue reading from the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada's translations and commentaries, and we'll be saying a few words about each verse so we can understand the context in which the verses are spoken. So Prabhupada describes that Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in about 35 minutes, and Arjuna understood it perfectly in 35 minutes. And we are taking 3,500 years to understand Bhagavad Gita, but at least we're making an attempt. So we're starting with text 27 in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So remember that Arjuna has asked Krishna to bring his chariot to the center of the battlefield of Kurukshetra so that Arjuna can see everyone, all of his relatives, all of his friends, all of his gurus, teachers, etc., like that, who are assembled there waiting to fight. So, Tansamiksha Sakonteya Sarvan Bandhun Avastitan Kripaya Paraya Vishto Vishidan Nidham Abravit. Tan, all of them. Samiksha, after seeing Saha, he, Kuntiya, the son of Kunti. Sarvan, all kinds of Bandhun, relatives. Avastitan, situated. Kripaya, by compassion. Paraya, of a high grade. Avishtaha, overwhelmed. Vishidan, while lamenting. Idam, thus. Abravit, spoke. So translation, when the son of Kunti Arjuna saw all these different grades of friends and relatives, he became overwhelmed with compassion and spoke thus. So there's no purport to this text, so we're going to go on to the next text. Text 28. Arjuna vacha Trishtve mam sarva janam krishna yuyutsum samupashtitam siranti mamagatrani mukham cha parishushyate. Arjuna vacha, Arjuna said, Drishva, after seeing imam, all these, swa janam, kinsmen, krishna, krishna, yuyutsum, all in a fighting spirit. Samupashtitam, present. Siddhanti, are quivering. Mama, my. Gatrani, limbs of the body. Mukham, mouth. Cha, also. Parishushyati, is drying up. So translation, Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such a fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering and my mouth drying up. Purport. Any man, by his divine grace of the Prabhupada, of course, any man who has a genuine devotion to the Lord has all the good qualities which are found in godly persons or in the demigods. Whereas the non-devotee, however advanced he may be in material qualifications, by education and culture lacks in godly qualities. As such, Arjuna, just after seeing his kinsmen, friends, and relatives on the battlefield, was at once overwhelmed by compassion for them who had so decided to fight amongst themselves. As far as his soldiers were concerned, he was sympathetic from the beginning, but he felt compassion even for the soldiers of the opposite party, foreseeing their imminent death. And while he was so thinking, the limbs of his body began to quiver, and his mouth became dry. He was more or less astonished to see their fighting spirit. Practically, the whole community, all blood relatives of Arjuna, had come to fight with him. This overwhelmed a kind devotee like Arjuna. Although it is not mentioned here, still one can easily imagine that not only were Arjuna's bodily limbs quivering and his mouth drying up, but he was also crying out of compassion. Such symptoms of Arjuna were not due to weakness, but to his soft-heartedness, a characteristic of a pure devotee of the Lord. It is said, therefore, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sarvar gunas tatra samasate sura harabhavaktasya kuto mahadguna manoritenasati davato bahi. One who has unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods. But one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he is hovering on the mental plane and is certain to be attracted by the glaring material energy. So that's the end of that purport. And I wanted to show you one verse, one word in this particular verse that's very interesting. Swajanam. Swajanam means my people, which is actually quite interesting because, you know, based on the bodily identification, of course, we think this is my body. And then we think this is my family, my people, my nation, and even goes as far as to indicate my species, you know, human species. So people think, the people who are in Maya, of course, think that things connected or entities connected to this body are of special, let's say they're special to one. They're deemed special, to have special mercies, special attention. Whereas a pure devotee of the Lord is thinking, yastu sarvani bhutani atmanaiva anupashyati, that all living entities are equal, and I should give them equal attention. Of course, that doesn't mean that one doesn't do his duty in terms of his family or in terms of his friends. We understand that. But one's consciousness should be so focused that one sees Krishna in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayesha arjuna tishtati. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, of course. Ishvara sarva bhutanam, that the Ishvara, that's Krishna, is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudani maya. And the Ishvara, Krishna, is directing the living entities to act according to their desires. That's the super soul, of course. So one sees this connection between all living entities and oneself. So when a pure devotee is thinking of his people, he sees everyone as his people. In other words, everyone is his brother and sister. Like Prabhupada would comment one time about this Christian saint, Saint Francis, who considered all the living entities to be his brothers and sisters. And Prabhupada said, that is first-class God consciousness. So here Arjuna is not actually thinking like that. But of course, Prabhupada comments that his compassion for everybody is a natural aspect, natural quality of a devotee. So that's not bad. His feeling sad that these people are going to be killed is not bad. A devotee should feel compassion. Of course, we talk about compassion for the soul, that's primary. But still, if someone is in pain, even materially, we feel compassion for them. There's that interesting story in Australia that once upon a time, when the devotees were preparing for a Rath Yatra, there was a fire in the building, either next to the temple or where the Rath Yatra cart was being prepared or the canopy was being prepared. And the firemen, or what you call the brigade, the fire brigade, had not yet arrived. And there were people, like in the second, third, or higher floors of the building, who couldn't escape and they were afraid of being killed. And so the devotees, feeling natural compassion, grabbed the canopy that was being made for the cart and arranged for all the people surrounding the building to hold the canopy very taut. And they said to the lady who was up there, jump, jump, jump. And eventually the lady jumped and they saved her. So, and Prabhupada was very pleased to hear that. So we do make endeavors to help people even materially, although the spiritual help is of primary importance. But Arjuna's compassion is perfectly understandable and is a natural characteristic of a devotee. But if it goes so far that his feelings, his sentiment, interfere with what Krishna wants, or interfere with carrying out Dharma, and he doesn't control his lower self, that is the feelings, sentiments, senses, by the higher self, intelligence, that's where Arjuna goes off. So let's read about that. Next text. Vipatuscha Romaharshasya Jayate Gandivam Shramsate Hastat Pukjaiva Paridadyate. Vipattu, trembling of the body. Cha, also, Sharire, on the body, may my Romaharshaha, standing of hair on end. Cha, also, Jayate is taking place. Gandivam, the bow of Arjuna. Shramsate is slipping. Hastat, from the hand. Walk skin cha also, Ava certainly, Parihyate is burning. My whole body is trembling, my hair is standing on end, my bow Gandiva is slipping from my hand, and my skin is burning. Prabhupada explains, there are two kinds of trembling of the body, and two kinds of standing of the hair on end. Such phenomena occur either in great spiritual ecstasy or out of fear, or great fear under material conditions. There is no fear in transcendental realization. Arjuna's symptoms in this situation are out of material fear, namely loss of life. Of course, let me unpack that. It's not the loss of his own life. But because he is identifying with these people, they're his people. Because of attachment, it's as if he was going to lose his own life. But physically, personally, bodily, he was not fearful. He was the Kshatriya. He was not fearful of dying, not fearful of getting wounded. But he was fearful of those who were near and dear to him, or connected to his body in some way, being hurt. This is evident from other symptoms also. He became so impatient that his famous bow, Gandiva, was slipping from his hands, and because his heart was burning within him, he was feeling a burning sensation of the skin. All these are due to a material conception of life. So, as Prabhupada comments, there are these things called bhavas. Bhava means emotions. And in the material world, there's this bhava rog. That means sick emotions. Now, rog means sick. And there are transcendental emotions, like the Ashta-sattvika-bhavas, Anubhavas, Vibhavas, Vyavachari-bhavas, or Sanchari-bhavas, and Stai-bhavas. I guess I should explain that real quickly. A Vibhava, these are the different categories of spiritual emotions. So a Vibhava is something to stimulate your emotion. Like if you see Krishna's flute, you see Krishna's peacock feather, you hear the sound of a flute, even if it's not Krishna's, and you become ecstatic. It's called the Vibhava. Anubhava is the emotion that follows, like you dance, you chant, you roll in ecstasy, you may drool a little bit from the mouth. Some of these symptoms are also seen from material emotional experiences too, which are a perverted reflection of the spiritual emotional experiences. So that's Anubhava. And there's the sattvika bhava, which means the constitutional, what is part of your nature. There's eight types of those types of emotions. There's the sanchari bhava, which is sometimes called vyavachari bhava, which are 33 in nature, which are really intense, intermittent emotions that just may arise and overwhelm you at any particular time, spiritually like that. And then finally, there's the stai bhava, which is the emotion that pertains to your constitutional position in the spiritual world, whether you are a servant of Krishna, whether you're a friend of Krishna, whether you're a parent of Krishna, or whether you're a conjugal lover of Krishna or assistant in those particular activities. So there are spiritual emotions. Not that when you become Krishna conscious that you have no emotions. You actually have more emotions. More, you become more emotional. But those emotions are in connection to Krishna. So Arjuna's emotions at this point actually were due to his physical connection, bodily connection, the illusion that he had in relationship to these people. As I mentioned before, to feel sorry that people are going to die is natural. But to be more attached to the things that belong to the body, connected to the body, that's material conception. All right, next verse. Nacha shatnam yavastatum brahmativa chame manaha nimitani chupashami viparitani keshava. Nor cha also shaknomi am I able avastatum to stay. Brahmati, forgetting, eva, as, cha, and, me, my, manaha, mind. Nimitani causes, cha, also, pashyami, I see. Bipari, tani, just the opposite. Keshva, O killer of the demon, Keshi, Krishna. Of course, as you know, the killer, the demon, Keshi, was a horse demon in Vrindavan. And Krishna killed him just by sticking his fist in the horse's mouth. And this demon died. He's one of the many associates of Kamsa that were sent to kill Krishna. Translation, I am now unable to stand here any longer. I'm forgetting myself and my mind is reeling. I see only causes of misfortune. O Krishna, killer of the Keshi demon. So Prabhupada explains, due to his impatience, Arjuna was unable to stay on the battlefield, and he was forgetting himself on account of his weakness of his mind. Excessive attachment for material things puts a man in such a bewildering condition of existence. So this verse from the Bhagavatam, Vayam dvitiya vinivesata shat. When one sees in duality, in other words, sees things as not connected to Krishna, then fear arises, because then you're seeing things in terms of I and mine. Such fearfulness and loss of mental equilibrium take place in persons who are too affected by material conditions. Arjuna envisioned only painful reverses in the battlefield. He would not be happy even by gaining victory over the foe. The words, nimitani viparitani, are significant. When a man sees only frustration in his expectations, he thinks, why am I here? Everyone is interested in himself and his own welfare. No one is interested in the Supreme Self. Arjuna is showing ignorance of his real self-interest by Krishna's will. One's real self-interest lies in Vishnu or Krishna. Atevatu swarthagatimi Vishnu. The conditioned soul forgets this and therefore suffers material pains. Arjuna thought that his victory on the battle would only be a cause of lamentation for him. In other words, in one sense, he was thinking, oh, these poor people who are going to die. But he was actually thinking to himself, well, I'm going to feel real bad if these people die. I'm going to suffer. So it was actually his, let us say, his concern was for himself. Now, just to backtrack a little bit in this particular purport, like Prabhupada said, Arjuna envisioned only Vidwan. Oh, here. Arjuna is showing ignorance of his real self-interest by Krishna's will. This is actually a key sentence here. That Krishna wanted him to show ignorance of his real self-interest. Why did Krishna want him to show ignorance of his real self-interest? Because Krishna wanted to speak the Bhagavad Gita and carry out this particular pastime. It's as simple as that. Because how would we learn Krishna consciousness if we didn't have the Bhagavad Gita, and if Arjuna hadn't shown this apparent illusion? So Krishna sometimes puts his devotees in illusion, and certainly Arjuna is a Nityasiddha devotee, eternally liberated devotee. As mentioned elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna and Arjuna were together many, many times. Whenever Krishna appears, Arjuna's there with him. That means an eternal associate. When Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god Vivaswan, millions of years before the Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the text we're reading right now, Arjuna was there. When Krishna appeared as the Narayan Rishi, Arjuna was there as Nara, right next to him. So he's his eternal friend, but he doesn't remember all of his past births, as we'll see Krishna will point out later in the Bhagavad Gita. But he gets put into what's called yogamaya illusion, so different pastimes can take place. Because Arjuna was to remember everything, he wouldn't have asked these questions, wouldn't have been an illusion. And if the devotees in general with Krishna in the spiritual world keep remembering that Krishna is God, then they will not have different types of pastimes with Krishna. It'll just be a mood of awe and reverence, which is pretty much predominant in the Vaikuntha planets. For example, in Ayodhya, one of the planets in the spiritual world, Hanuman's always aware that Ram is God. Always aware that Ram is God. Lakshmi is always aware that Narayan is God. And because she's worshiping Narayan in the mood of awe and reverence, there's that interesting story in the Chaitanya Mangal where Narada Muni serves Lakshmi to get some Mahaprasadam from Narayan. And Lakshmi offers him the benediction, what do you want? And Narada Muni says, I want some Mahaprasadam. And she gets really nervous because she thinks, I am dealing with God here. I don't want to offend him. So she shyly, with some fear, she approaches Narayan and she says, I made this promise, what should I do? So there is an awe and reverent aspect, I mean, predominant aspect in that particular relationship. So in order for Krishna to have a more intimate relationship, a back and forth relationship, where sometimes the devotees become superior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not ontologically, not in nature, but they become superior in terms of being able to order the Lord or acting as if they were superior to the Lord, then Krishna enjoys that. So here we find Arjuna forgetting that he actually was completely Krishna conscious. And he is completely Krishna conscious, but he's forgetting the philosophy basically for Krishna's, the sake of Krishna's pastimes. Now, when we forget the philosophy, it is not for the sake of Krishna's pastimes. It's for the sake of our independent being an illusion. So we try to remember this. So anyway, the final sentence in the purport is Arjuna thought that his victory in the battle would only be a cause of lamentation for himself. You know, what's the use of my victory if all these people are dead? I'm not going to be able to enjoy. So he's thinking my enjoyment. He's not thinking Krishna's enjoyment. He's not thinking what's good for society. He's thinking me. And that's really, in one sense, that's almost like a mode of goodness type of understanding, where one acts as char in a charitable way, compassionate way, because it makes them feel good. But a devotee acts in a compassionate, charitable way because they really are para dukkha-dukkhi. They are not concerned with their feelings. They are more concerned with others' feelings. That's para dukkha-dukkhi. In other words, they want others to be happy, but their own feelings are not that. That's love. And you find that best expressed in this world between a mother and a child. That she's really just concerned with her child's feelings. Next verse. Nacha shreya nu pachami hatva swajana mahave nakankshe vijiham krishna nacha rajam sukhanicha na nor cha also shreya good anupashyami. Do I foresee hatva by killing swajanam? There's that word again. My people. You understand? Because by the battle of Kurukshetra, the people in general will be benefited. And Arjuna's people, you know, people connected to his body, they'll also be benefited in a different way, but they'll be leaving their bodies in general. But the general mass of people will be benefited by having Yudhisthira Maharaj in charge. Because previously, or at this point, they had Duryodhana in charge. You know, if you have someone like Duryodhana in charge, you need to have a change of government for the good of the people. Why is it for the good of the people? Well, Duryodhana actually was a very charitable person. Of course, he gave a lot of charity to the citizens because he was buying their loyalty. This was his whole concept. However, not only to maintain the citizens is the duty of the king, but to engage the citizens in Dharma, in the progressive spiritual path, which he didn't do. So in this way, Duryodhana was violent or committing violence to the people who were under his kingship because he was misleading them. Prabhupada defined violence as impeding a living entity's spiritual progress. So Duryodhana was certainly doing that. When you have someone, I mean, like even Ravan. Let's take the example of Ravan, okay? Ravan, he took care of his citizens. I mean, they were enjoying. Well, they enjoyed because they were drinking a lot of liquor and intoxication, illicit sex and gambling and all those other things. But he was taking them down the wrong path. You know, let's say you go to school, okay? And you have a teacher.
Here's something I found.
You have a teacher. Well,
to go to school for free.
Anyway, my device is talking right now to me.
Or FAFSA. Attend a free tuition school.
Wait a second.
Start a job for a company that extends.
That's the problem with having these electronic devices here. So let's say you go to school, and according to the teacher, the students, you have a great teacher. The teacher lets you enjoy life, and you don't learn a damn thing. But the teacher is very kind and feeds you all day long, takes you bowling or takes you whatever, swimming. That's not a good teacher. She's not a teacher or he's not a teacher. So even though he or she is taking care of you, but they're taking care of you in the wrong way. So Duryodhana is misleading the citizens and he's committed violence in this particular way. So it was necessary to have a coup d'etat. And actually, it wasn't even a coup d'etat because the actual person who should have been in charge of the kingdom was Yudhisthira by the law of primogeniture. And he was the qualified person. And so Duryodhana and company had, in an illicit way, usurped the kingdom. So that is why it was necessary to replace him for the good of the citizens. But Arjuna is thinking of Swajanam, my people. He's not thinking of everybody, the world, Dharma, Krishna, the very selfish type of concept. Of course, as I mentioned, this is Yogamaya. Krishna wants him to speak like that. That's why. I do not see how any good could come from killing my own kinsmen. in this battle, nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. Here it is. I do not see, you know, no good. I do not see Anupashmi, I do not see Swajanam, my own people, Kangshe, nor do I desire. I don't want victory, I don't want this, I don't want that. You know, basically a state of depression because I am mine. So Prabhupada explains, without knowing that one's self-interest isn't Vishnu or Krishna, conditioned souls are attracted by bodily relationships, for hoping to be happy in such situations. In such a blind conception of life, they forget even the causes of material happiness, which is really interesting. Because when you're Krishna conscious, you can be happy even in this world. How can you be happy? Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam yadvamam shantim richati. Because you can be peaceful. And when you understand that nothing belongs to me, everything belongs to Krishna, I don't have a right to control things, I'm not the supreme controller, you can be peaceful. Peacefulness is a prerequisite to be happy. And then, ishavasham idam sarvam yakancha jagajam jagat. Everything is only controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everybody gets his quota. You know, someone may get a quota of $10 billion, another person a quota of 10 cents. But it's up to Krishna. And the real happiness is within anyway. It's not without. It doesn't come from contact of the senses with their sense objects. Arjuna appears to have even forgotten the moral codes for a kshatriya. It is said that two kinds of men, namely the kshatriya who dies directly in front of the battlefield under Krishna's personal orders, and the person in the renounced order of life who is absolutely devoted to spiritual culture, are eligible to enter into the sun globe, which is so powerful and dazzling. Actually, I'd rather go back to Godhead. Arjuna is reluctant even. In other words, the kshatriya dharma is if one dies in a religious, either fight or religious activities, protecting people. The word kshatriya means to protect from harm. Kshatriyate. Like we have mantra to free the mind. Okay? Mantra, mana, tra. Triyate. Kshatriya. To free from harm. So if one, as a kshatriya, is doing his duty, then he certainly gets spiritually elevated. Arjuna is reluctant even to kill his enemies, let alone his relatives. He thinks that by killing his kinsmen, there would be no happiness in his life, and therefore he's not willing to fight, just as a person who does not feel hunger is not inclined to cook. Unless he's a devotee, then he cooks for Krishna. He has now decided to go into the forest and live a secluded life in frustration. But as a kshatriya, he requires a kingdom for his subsistence, because the kshatriyas cannot engage themselves in any other occupation. Very, very important. Because the kshatriyas, according to Krishna and the Gita, their quality is Ishwara Bhava. What is Ishwara Bhava? That they have to have something they control. You know, even if it's just a village. But they cannot work under someone else. And they will not be happy simply meditating in the forest, because their nature of chivalry, their nature of wanting to protect will always come out naturally. I'll give you an example of that in Arjuna's case. Before this whole battle of Kurukshetra was arranged, Arjuna was executing austerities in order to get the favor of Lord Shiva. So he was chanting Om Namo Shivaya in order to get Lord Shiva's weapons like the Trishura, the trident, etc. like that. So as he was meditating, a big boar, ferocious with tusks, came and was threatening his life. Arjuna picked up his bow and arrows and shot the boar. At the same time, another arrow hit the boar and Arjuna looked up. And it was a lower class man, a hunter class, Kirata, that's what it's called in Sanskrit, Karata, who had fired an arrow, and Arjuna said, "My arrow killed this boar." And the hunter said, "My arrow killed the boar." You know, so if Arjuna was a Brahmin, who would care whose arrow killed the boar? You know, as long as the boar was dead and nobody got hurt by the boar, fine. You know, Hare Krishna. So, but Arjuna, you know, because the Kshatriyas had that pride, martial pride like that. That's called Ishwara Bhava. So, what happened is this Karata and Arjuna had a big fight. And guess who won? The Karata. And Arjuna, when he was on the ground, he thought, you know, I better worship Lord Shiva. He made a little deity, Shiva Linga, on the ground and started to pray to Lord Shiva, and he put a garland on that Shiva Linga. And he looked up, and that Karata had that same garland on. So he understood he was fighting with Lord Shiva. So the moral of the story, the reason I told the story is to illustrate the point, is you can't take the Kshatriya nature out of a Kshatriya. So that was Arjuna's dharma, to act like that, so that he and his brothers could do their Kshatriya dharma. In fact, before the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna tried to intercede and make peace between both of the sides. And he said to Duryodhana that even if you offer Arjuna and his brothers villages, you know, there's five villages, they won't have to fight. And Duryodhana, he was so adamant, he said, "I will not give them as much land that can fit on the head of a pin." I mean, he was so envious and adamant. So, you know, Arjuna needed to do his dharma as a Kshatriya, and he also needed to protect society. I mean, there are many, and what to speak of following Krishna's direction in this regard, understanding that Krishna is able to see from a higher perspective. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he knows everything past, present, and future, so he knows what's good for you. It's like a parent. You know, like a parent will say, let's take Prabhupada's mother, for example. Prabhupada didn't want to go to school when he was a kid. So Prabhupada's mother had to force him to go to school. She had to hire someone to take Prabhupada's hand, a little boy, you know, 5, 6 years old, and take him to school. Because, as they say, father or mother knows best. That's funny. Anyway, I know there was a TV show a while ago that was Father Knows Best. We'll take questions in a second. We're almost ready for questions. Arjuna's sole opportunity for gaining a kingdom lies in fighting with his cousins and brothers and reclaiming the kingdom inherited from his father, which he does not like to do. Therefore, he considers himself fit to go to the forest to live a secluded life of frustration, which was completely impractical for Arjuna. Next text, and this will probably be the last group of texts we read today. Kim no rajena govinda kim bogar jivitenava yeshamarte kangshitam to rajam boga sukhani cha tahime vastita yude pranams chatva danani cha acharya pitara putras tathaiva cha pitamaha matula swasura putra syala sambandinastata etanna hantamichami natopi madhusudana abhitrai lokya rajasya hetu kim nu magi krite nihacha dakta rastrana ka pritisya janardana. King, what is the use? Nah, to us. Rajena is the kingdom Govinda, O Krishna, kim, what, bogai, enjoyment, jivitena, living, ba. Either yesham, of whom are tape for the say, kangshitam is desired now by us, rajam, kingdom, bhoga, material enjoyment, sukhani, all happiness, cha, also te, all of them. Ime, these, avastita, situated, New day on this battlefield, pranan lives, chakva, giving up, danani, riches, cha, also acharya, teachers, pitara, fathers, putra, sons, tata, as well as eva, certainly, cha, also, pitamaha, grandfathers, matula, maternal uncles, shwa, suraha, fathers-in-law, potraha, grandsons, shalaha, brothers-in-law, sambandinaha, relatives, tata, as well as etan, all these, na, never, huntum, to kill, ichami, do I wish, Nataha, being killed, api, even, Madhusudana, killer of the demon, Madhu Krishna, api, even if, try, lokya, of the three worlds, rajasya, for the kingdom, hate the whole, in exchange, kim nu, what to speak of, mahi krite, for the sake of the earth, nihatya, by killing, dhritarashtran, the sons of dhritarashtra, na, our, ka, what, priti, pleasure, shat, will there be, janardana, O maintainer of all living entities, O Govinda, of what avail to us are a kingdom, happiness, or even life itself, when all those for whom we may desire them are now arrayed on this battlefield? O Madhusudana, when teachers, fathers, sons, grandfathers are ready to give up their lives and properties and are standing before me, why should I wish to kill them, even though they might otherwise kill me? O maintainer of all living entities, I am not prepared to fight with them, even in exchange for the three worlds, let alone this earth. What pleasure will we derive from killing the sons of Dhritarashtra? Purport. Arjuna has addressed Lord Krishna as Govinda because Krishna is the object of all pleasures for the cows and the senses. By using this significant word, Arjuna indicates that Krishna should understand what will satisfy Arjuna's senses, but Govinda is not meant for satisfying our senses. If we try to satisfy the senses of Govinda, however, then automatically our own senses are satisfied. Very important point. The Govinda means the pleaser of the senses and pleaser of the cows. So Arjuna is thinking that Krishna is meant to please his senses. And this is generally how people approach religious life, that God is meant just to please my senses, but actually, Hrishikena, Hrishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakta, Ruchite, we are meant to satisfy his senses. And as Prabhupada gives the example, when you water the root of the tree, which is an example or metaphor given in many instances, then all the leaves get watered. So when Krishna becomes happy, everyone becomes happy. Materially, everyone wants to satisfy his senses, and he wants God to be the order supplier for such satisfaction. The Lord will satisfy the senses, the living entities, as much as they deserve, but not to the extent they may covet. In other words, Krishna gives what you need, but not what you want all the time. Because wants are unlimited. And the Gita says that avritam jnana maintaina jnanino nityamayana kamarupena kontiya dushprena lenacha, that when you get something, you think it's going to satisfy your senses, but it's just like throwing gasoline on a fire. It becomes further inflamed. You want more and more and more, and you're never satisfied. But you are satisfied when Krishna's satisfied. When one tries to satisfy the senses of Govinda without desiring to satisfy one's own senses, then by the grace of Govinda, all the desires of the living entity are satisfied. Arjuna's deep affection for community and family members is exhibited here, partly due to his natural compassion for them, partly due. He is therefore not prepared to fight. Everyone wants to show his opulence to friends and relatives, but Arjuna fears that all his relatives and friends will be killed on the battlefield, and he will be unable to share his opulence after victory. So in other words, that's why we have Facebook, so we can share our opulence. You know, what are the opulence? Actually, this is quite interesting. So many times I see the Facebook pages of some of my disciples and friends and things like that. And people, not everyone, I mean, some people are just trying to spread Krishna consciousness, but they're trying, but in many cases, let's say, ladies, sorry if I'm offending any of you ladies, many of ladies who are a little attractive and dress in the latest fashion, then you pose, in different ways, and in Facebook, you know, and you pose with your latest outfit. Instead of the Didi's outfit, you pose with your latest outfit. So, but why do you do that? Because you want others to see it and appreciate it. You want to share your opulence. You know, we have other types of opulence, you know, intelligence, Janmai Sharya, Shrutasya Shubir, my good birth, by the way I look, my learning, my strength. You know, someone wants to display their strength, my fame, all the opulences that Krishna has in unlimited degree, and we want to display that. I mean, this is natural. And that's why Facebook is so popular. Of course, we're also using Facebook. Hopefully not to show my opulence of understanding the Bhagavad Gita. But Facebook is so popular because people want to display whatever opulences they have. Really. They want to display their opulences, their beauty. You know, you see that all the time. I can't believe what people do on their Facebook page. How good a cook they are. How they have a nice, beautiful new house. Of course, usually on my Facebook page, I try to display my opulences of the deities we worship, that is, Radha Golokananda. And I love Krishna's opulences. Okay. All right, so this is a typical calculation of material life. The transcendental life, however, is different. Since a devotee wants to satisfy the desires of the Lord, he can, Lord willing, accept all kinds of opulence for the service of the Lord. And if the Lord is not willing, he should not accept a farthing. That means a penny. Arjuna did not want to kill his relatives, and if there were any need to kill them, he desires that Krishna kill them personally. At this point, he did not know that Krishna had already killed him before coming to the battlefield, and that he was only to become an instrument for Krishna. This fact is disclosed in following chapters. As a natural devotee of the Lord, Arjuna did not like to retaliate against his miscreant cousins and brothers, but it was the Lord's plan that they should all be killed. Now, obviously, none of us have that particular duty. We're not advocating it. But sometimes we do things that ordinarily we wouldn't like to do. Like when I first took up Krishna consciousness, I did something I ordinarily would not like to do. I woke up early in the morning, which was the exact opposite of what I was accustomed to doing in the university. University, I was accustomed to staying up real late at night. I didn't party, don't worry. Studying. I was a good young man. I was accustomed to staying up late at night and waking up late the next day when I didn't have classes. So I changed it. I did things, you know, that went against whatever I was accustomed to. Devotee of the Lord does not retaliate against the wrongdoer, but the Lord does not tolerate any mischief done to the devotee by the miscreants. The Lord can excuse a person on his own account, but he excuses no one who has done harm to his devotees. Therefore, the Lord was determined to kill the miscreants, although Arjuna wanted to excuse them. So you may think, another point is, let's connect this to capital punishment, okay? So sometimes, in certain places in the world, including America and certain states, they have capital punishment, and people think this is cruel and unusual punishment, which goes against the Constitution of the United States. But that thought is only when one only comes up when one thinks that this is the only lifetime that someone has. You know, in other words, if you kill someone, that's it, finished, no more. That's not a fact. If someone by the government has done something so heinous that capital punishment is merited, the person will be relieved of the karma by being subjected to that particular punishment. And not only that, society will be safe from that person. And not only that, the government will not have to spend millions and millions of dollars maintaining the person. It's not cruel and unusual punishment. The person will get free to the karma. Next life will get a new lease on life, so to speak. So there's more going on here than just death in this battle of Kurukshetra. There's death, there's rebirth, there's a purification of society. Of course, in this day and age, we do not do things like this. We do not have battles like that. We take care of the miscreants in our own heart by the chanting of the Lord's holy names and the performance of bhakti. So tomorrow we will continue with text 36, and now we will take questions from anybody who has questions. So, who has questions? Oh. Saki and Sean again. It's nice to see you. Okay. Mother Tulsi has a question.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask?
Please. Okay, so...
Speak loudly so everyone can hear.
Okay, in the beginning, you spoke about the compassion and Prabhupada's purport of the compassion that Arjun had for his relatives and how it was appropriate for pure devotees. So how do we compare that with Draupadi and the son of Dronacharya, Ashvatam, when her heart melted down out of compassion, but she was considered a weak woman with womanly emotions and all that, and it was a fault for her.
Well, it's actually an interesting story that, let's see, to relate that whole story, you had Ashwatthama, who had killed her five sons. I mean, that's pretty bad. And her reason was more sentimental for not killing Ashwatthama. One is that she was concerned with Ashwatthama's mother, who was creepy, and creepy would be without her son. Her husband was already dead. That's Dronacharya, if you hadn't figured that out. So it was purely sentimental compassion. But the right thing, I know, but the Pandavas, they didn't kill Ashwatthama because Ashwatthama was a Brahmin, and Brahmins are not supposed to be killed like that. There's other punishments that are given to them. So Arjuna's natural feeling of compassion was actually a good quality, but his being overwhelmed by that compassion was where it went into the realm of illusion. Naturally, we will feel compassion, or let's say things happen to our bodily attachments, or let's say even take the body we have. Naturally, let's say I hurt my finger. It's not hurt, don't worry. Let's say I cut my finger. I will naturally feel pain. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Naturally, I'll feel pain. But if I become so overwhelmed that I forget my duties in life, then at that point, then you're entering into the realm of illusion. It goes further than a natural understanding of compassion for a devotee. Thank you. So next, anybody Gurudev. Else have a question?
Yes, Gurudev.
Oh, okay, Praneshara. You are on lockdown and you're growing a beard.
Yes, Gurudev, my question is like, what to do when one misled here, one do conspiracy in work, in devotional life?
What do you do if someone misleads you in devotional life? Is that the question?
Yeah, one in the projects, material projects, do conspiracy. So what would be the practical steps should be taken and how to protect self?
If someone misleads you in devotional life and some project, you can be fooled by someone. You know, what is that saying? You cheat me one time, it's your fault. I get cheated by you the second time, it's my fault. I forget the exact saying, but it's blame is on me. So don't deal with that person anymore. I mean, you have to be...
So on immediate, we should remove him and also to...
Yes.
But
don't hurt him. Just remove him. And if he's done something illegal, then report him to the government. There it is. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Thank you very much, Ishwar and Sundari. You are all very intelligent. It probably came from your mother. So, yeah, no, obviously, If someone cheats you or something like that, if it's something illegal, then you deal with it accordingly.
Yes.
You know, if someone kicks you, don't say, kick me again.
Yes.
You learn. All right?
Yes, Gurudev.
But don't be a kshatriya. Don't go killing people. Not a good idea.
Yes. Understood.
Okay. Oh, the guns. Right from the operating room.
No, I do not operate. Gurudev, is there any connection between Subhadramani, Draupadi, and Durgamai? Like Krishna, as Draupadi is considered Krishna's sister, as well as Durgama, Krishna's sister, and Subhadramai.
Well, Subhadra is Krishna's internal energy, Yogamaya. And Durga is expansion.
Okay.
But Draupadi has a different relationship with Krishna.
So she's not sister to Krishna.
Well, yeah, but not in the same way. It's a you know, it's a completely different way. It's not in the same way that Subhadra. You know, Subhadra is a little bit different. That's right. Subhadra was one of Vasudeva's. Vasudeva had another wife, and that wife gave birth to Subhadra. You understand? Vasudeva had quite a few wives. I forget the exact number right now.
Oh.
You understand? And so he was directly sister, and she's also Yogamaya. Draupadi was a different relationship. Draupadi had more relationship with Krishna as like a friend.
Okay.
It was more like friend relationship, sister like that.
Yes.
Like Krishna would call Draupadi Sakhi, not in the sense, same sense that there are Sakhis. Yeah, yes. 18 wives. Someone just told me that, Mother Tulsa just told me that Vasudeva had 18 wives. How many wives do you have?
One.
Oh, one. Okay, that's nice.
This one.
It's a Radha-Padma. So anyway. Anyway, it's a different type of relationship. But Draupadi was more or less like Krishna's friend. She was sometimes called Krishna because she had the same complexion as Krishna, and she was a friend, you know, very close friend of Krishna's.
Okay, Gurudev.
Okay?
Okay,
thank Anybody you, else have a question? If not, we are going to end for this evening. It's nice to see you all. We'll have a continuation of the Bhagavad Gita reading and explanation tomorrow. So there's some chat messages. Oh yeah, I got those already. Okay, I got my chat messages. So we will have a continuation tomorrow at the same time, 6 o'clock East Coast time, which is whatever time it is everywhere else. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.